Crossway Church Sermon Audio.
A well-known quote by A.W. Tozer said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important things about us. Worship is either pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God." So what comes in your mind when you think about God? About Jesus. Tozer would go on later to say that we tend by secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. So in other words, we have a tendency of drifting toward what we believe God to be. Often it becomes a mix of biblical truth and personal experience, or even a desire or hope for what you desire God to be like. But this is dangerous though, right? Because what ends up happening is that we create a God that ends up looking a lot like ourselves. And in that way is actually no God at all. So that's my challenge and my hope is, and my desire is, as we go through the series, is that we come face to face with the real Jesus that is revealed in Scripture. And furthermore, I want everyone to realize that what we read about Jesus in the Scriptures that we'll go through still describes him today. That we don't just read about a person in history, like George Washington or something like that. As Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So recently I had the opportunity to go through a new book by Dane Ortlund. It was called Gentle and Lowly. I went through it with Anthony and a few other guys from Crossway. And I can say that it had an absolutely profound effect on me. Thank you. Like, honestly, not in recent memory outside of the Bible. Has a book made me look and think so deeply, point after point. And so in many ways, it helped inspire this series on studying the overlooked aspects of Christ, because that the term gentle and lowly is actually a term that we'll look through tonight. And it's one that I completely missed. So in a lot of ways, it helped inspire this series. And I'm going to quote it a lot tonight. So hang in there with me. But when you hear how Dane talks about this aspect of Christ that we'll look at, I think it'll, you know, I want to just say that it'll encourage you to read it, because it really inspired me. So he takes what we're going to talk about very briefly tonight to really deep levels that I would say is really going to shake up your preconceived notions of who Christ is. So inspire you to, or encourage you to pick it up if you haven't. So one of the points that Dane drives home in Gentle and Lowly is that as Christians, we come to a person, to Jesus Christ himself. He writes, "We do not come to a set of doctrines. We do not come to a church. We do not even come to the gospel. All these are vital, but most truly, we come to a person, to Christ himself." I'll read it again. "We do not come to a set of doctrines. We do not come to a church. We do not even come to the gospel. All of these are vital, but most truly, we come to a person, to Christ himself." So that took me back at first when I first read it. I don't know if it did you, but do you approach your faith this way? Do you think that way as you come to Jesus? So brothers and sisters, let's remember this truth anew as we start this study. Let's run to Christ together, and let's see Jesus for who he truly is, and repent of ways we've believed in something him to be something that he's not. And in doing so, let's pray that he revives our faith to see him as glorious and worthy of our every affection. Will you join me in prayer? Father, it is an honor to be your son. It is an honor to be here tonight among my brothers and sisters. I just pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would move in us, that you would help me to speak your word in truth, and that it would have its full effect on our hearts. And may we see you for who you truly are. May we see your Son for who he truly is. And I ask this in his name. Amen. So, tonight we're going to start by looking at the only place in Scripture where Jesus talks directly about his heart. So when something only happens once in our lives, we pay attention, right? So a few weeks ago, around Christmas, when Jupiter and Saturn kind of looked like they were coming together in the sky, it was something that hadn't happened in 800 years. Everybody made a big deal about it. You know, is this the Christmas star? Like, what is this? And or remember this summer when NEOWISE, the comet NEOWISE, was out in the sky. That comet is not coming back into view for another 7,000 years. So, needless to say, none of us are actually going to be here to see it. But we make a big deal about those things when they come around, you know, just once. Right? So, how much more important when something happens only once in Scripture? So, what does Jesus say about his heart? Would you go with me to Matthew 11:29? Matthew 11:29. So Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So this is a familiar verse probably for a lot of you. And at least for me, I always got caught in that part about the yoke and it being easy and light. But sandwiched right in the middle of that verse is the only place in Scripture that Jesus makes a direct mention of his heart. And we shouldn't miss this. I mean, there's so many ways that the God-man Jesus Christ could have described his heart, right? He could have said that his heart was strong and beyond comprehension. He could have used a myriad of adjectives to describe his heart and to reveal to humanity his very nature. But he chooses these two words, gentle and lowly. But perhaps before we jump in and we define, you know, what this means, I think we should ask ourselves, is this how we would have described Jesus' heart? If not, how would you have described it? I know it was a struggle for me at first. But I think that that's where we, again, need to challenge those preconceived notions. And ask, where did that idea of God come from? So coming back to the passage in Matthew, I think it's first important to define what Jesus means when he uses the word heart. Because our culture has turned the word into something that's purely emotional. You know, you'll hear people say things like, follow your heart, or I have a heart for this. But when the Bible speaks about the heart, it's not merely talking about our emotions, but it's actually talking about the motivating center of everything that we do. Dane Ortlund writes in the book about how the heart is described in Scripture, that it's not a part of who we are. It's at the center of who we are. The heart is not a part of who we are, it's the very center of who we are. So therefore, Christ's motivating center of everything that he does is that he is gentle and lowly. How incredible, right? How confounding that the omnipotent, omniscient God would describe his heart in this way. Yet this is our God. This is Jesus speaking to us. So that brings us to our theme tonight. If you've been around Crossway at all, we have themes every time. Come to Christ's gentle and lowly heart and find rest for your soul. But I will be mercifully brief because I only have one point. And I think you probably already know what it is. Christ's heart toward you is gentle and lowly when you come to him. So let's take some time to unpack what Jesus means when he says that his heart is gentle. The Greek words translated as gentle here only happen 3 times in the New Testament. It's used when Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth, when Jesus is described as gentle and riding on a donkey, and finally when Paul writes to wives about their quiet and gentle spirit. So meek, humble, gentle. This is how Jesus is describing his heart. He's saying that his heart is not trigger happy or reactionary. Meek, humble, gentle. And I'm going to be honest, I found this difficult to grasp. I won't get into it, but I was raised in a very law-based house. God likes you if you do this. God doesn't like you if you do that. And the hardest part for me was believing that Jesus wanted me to come to him when I sin. Right? I struggled to believe that Jesus' heart toward me when I come to him to confess sin was gentle. Can you relate to that at all? It seems like he should be angry with me, or at least a little hesitant, you know, to take me into his arms after I've sinned against him, right? Yet, here's an example of how I had a preconceived notion of Christ that was based on my human nature. Because when I'm wronged or sinned against, I get angry at the person who hurt me. I'm at least initially reluctant to welcome them back into relationship with me, right? So if I get angry and have hard thoughts toward a person who's wronged me, surely God feels the same way when I sin against him. But that is where I was wrong and needed scripture to inform and correct me. Because honestly, the truth is that time and time again in scripture, we are reminded of how Jesus responds to us and his heart towards us when we come to him when we sin. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 tells us we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. We are told to draw near to the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Christ bids us to come to him, especially when we sin. In fact, that's when we need him most. There is gentleness. So if you struggle with this, I would say there's gentleness and grace waiting for you when you come to Christ to confess your sins. Do you believe this? If you're struggling, hear these words from the English theologian John Owen. He says, he, Christ, can no more cast off sinners for their ignorance and wanderings than a father should cast away a child for his crying. Thus it ought to be with a high priest, and thus it is with Jesus Christ. He is able, with all meekness and gentleness, with patience and moderation, to bear with the infirmities, sins, and provocations of his people, even as a nurse or father bears with the weaknesses of a poor infant. A lot of old language in there. John Owen's, I think, 1600s, but you can see the point that he's making. Christ is not going to cast you off if you come to him. So, mini point number one, come to Christ, gentle and lowly heart, when you sin. But Christ also bids us to come to him when we suffer. He says in the next verse, come to me all, or in the previous verse, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So are you weary from the world? I mean, think of all the things right now. You know, 2020 was a very, very hard year. It's a lot to be worried about, a lot to be weary about. Are you heavy laden from the burdens of this life? Come to him and he promises rest. Just love that. I will give you rest. Dane Ortlund again points out another truth that we often overlook in our suffering. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention, really just to think about it. He points out that in Ephesians 5:30, Paul reminds us that we are members of Christ's body. Ephesians 5:30 says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." So have you ever thought about the practical applications of this? As believers in Christ, when we suffer, Christ suffers with us. When we hurt, he hurts with us. And therefore, when we come to him, the healing and the rest that he provides for us is as if it's for his own body. So he's eager. He's eager for us to come to him because we are members of his own body. So how often do you remember that you are a part of Christ's body? So come to him when you're suffering. Like I said, he's eager to provide rest for you because you are a part of his own body. So Christ also describes his heart as lowly. So let's look briefly at the word lowly. The word lowly is translated here as humble. However, throughout the Bible, the word is often translated as someone who is cast down or is destitute. You see the word lowly used when Mary says that God has exalted those who are of humble estate in Luke. And again, when Paul warns us not to be haughty, but to associate with the lowly. And the point I believe Jesus wants us to understand here is that he's accessible, that he is waiting for us to come to him. And again, indeed, if you look at Jesus' earthly ministry, you would have to conclude that he chose one of the lowliest ways to come to humanity, right? Consider how the God of the universe, in deciding where to make his long-awaited and prophesied entrance onto the scene of human history, chose a manger in Jerusalem. Yes. You know, God's plan for Jesus on his mission of salvation included, it started in a dirty manger, saw him riding on a donkey and dying on a cruel Roman cross. One of the worst ways to die. Now we know how the story ends, right? With this glorious resurrection, and it's why we all have the hope that we have. But surely he must be lowly in heart to have come to us in that way. So do you see that? This is our Savior. We don't even have to just see that as if it wasn't enough. If you look at his earthly ministry, time and time again, you see it. He was called a friend of sinners. And he told the crowds, "I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick." He spent time with the social outcasts and offered grace to those who in Jewish culture would have been considered the worst sinners. Consider his lowly heart as he healed the lepers or had compassion on the paralytic whose friends ripped the roof off just to get him to Jesus. Or the multitudes of people that came to him and he just kept healing them. Couldn't get away. This is not, if we look at Jesus' life, this is not noble kingly work in the world's eyes. But it's our King's work because of his lowly heart for us. Dane Ortlund writes again, "The cumulative testimony of the four Gospels is that when Jesus Christ sees the fallenness of the world all around him, his deepest impulse, his most natural instinct is to move toward that sin and suffering, not away from it." So think about your own life. What is that area that you feel is so sinful or ugly or difficult for you? Do you wish to be healed? Do you long for rest in that area. Brothers and sisters, Christ will meet you there, even in your darkest place, and pull you out if you would but call on him. He longs to. Such amazing truth. His lowly, so trust his lowly heart for you in these areas. Jesus invites all who labor and are heavy laden. And I just love that. Just, you know, no prerequisites. Jesus says all. No hoops to jump through. You can come to Jesus just as you are. You don't need to clean yourself up first. And praise God. Praise God. Ortlund writes again, indeed, given the depths of our sinfulness, the fact that Jesus has not yet cast us off proves that his deepest impulse and delight is patient gentleness. So take heart if you find it difficult to believe that Christ's heart for you is gentle and lowly when you come to him. Because he hasn't cast you off. Simply come to him and find rest. So as I wrap up tonight, do you believe that Jesus' heart toward you is gentle and lowly? Do you believe that his heart for you is gentle and lowly only when you obey him? Do you believe that he is also gentle and lowly when you sin and come to him? That he is gentle and lowly when you suffer? Where is it? Dear brother and sister, know that he wants you to come to him. He is eager and waiting to receive you as the father and the story of the prodigal son. So if you're having a hard time believing this, think about what is standing in your way. What is keeping you from truly believing this about Christ? Is it your own thoughts of God? Are you tending toward that mental image of God that Tozer writes about? If you are, turn from it and see the real Jesus that we find in Scripture. English theologian Thomas Goodwin, reflecting on our passage in Matthew 11, said this about it. Men are apt to have contrary thoughts of Christ, but he tells him his disposition here by preventing such hard thoughts of him to allure them unto him all the more. We are apt to think that he, being so holy, is therefore of severe and sour disposition against sinners and not able to bear them. No, says he, I am meek. Gentleness is my nature and temper. So if you have never come to Christ for salvation, why not do so tonight? You've heard about his heart towards sinners that come to him, that it's gentle, that's lowly. But know too that he's a God of justice and righteousness who will punish sinners in the end. Why not take this gift? Turn from your sin. Trust in Jesus for salvation. If you have any questions, please come to see me. I would love to talk to you. For those who have called on the name of Christ, remember again the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. On him, all of the wrath of God was placed. Why? We have to ask that question. Why? Now, I hope you see tonight that it's because of the great love which he has for us, because of his gentle and lowly heart. So if you haven't got the drift yet, I'm going to end with yet another quote from Gentle and Lowly. But I love it. I love it. He says, look to Christ. He deals gently with you. It is the only way he knows how to be. Speaking of Christians, he is the high priest to end all high priests. As long as you fix your attention on your sin, you will fail to see how you can be safe. But as long as you look to this high priest, you will fail to see how you could ever be in danger. Looking inside of ourselves, we can only anticipate harshness from heaven. Looking out to Christ, we can anticipate only gentleness. So if you're wondering what to do with all of this information, as we've considered Christ's heart for us, Christ makes it very easy for us. This is how the book ends. He said, so what do I do with all this information? And he said, step one, come to Jesus. Step two, see step one. That is the beautiful promise that we have. Come to Jesus. Trust his gentle and lowly heart for you and find rest.
For more information, head to our website at crosswaypa.org.